U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Excuse me.
Yeah, we are here.
Yes, we are.
It is Sunday morning again. It is December 27th. We hope you're having a great holiday and with your family and friends and so forth. And you're listening to KCNR 1460.com, and we're streaming worldwide.
Sorry.
I'm here in the studio with my Yuck It Up sister, Linda.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I had to do some laughing in there, you know?
Who does all the heavy lifting? Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
And so I'm also here in the studio with Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda and Red.
Good morning.
And a Merry Christmas.
Last but not least, Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable. I didn't get the rest of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the rest of that?
A soft guarantee of improbable solvency of I forgot what it was.
I tried to look that up this morning.
It's a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment.
Oh, there you go, financial. I'll have to write that down. Stability post-employment.
Post-employment.
Say that fast 5 times.
Yeah, I know. How crazy is all this crap?
I do. I'm serious when I say I want to meet this guy. He's like a word god. I mean, it's great. I would love to like sit down across a couple beers with this guy and like just come up with BS for stuff.
Yeah, it's like
it'd be fun.
The grandest, it's like the master of the BS.
It's a lot of competition out there for that.
There is a lot of competition out there for that. That is for sure. Yeah. In fact, maybe we should come up with an award.
The biggest BSer?
Yeah, the master BS.
Yeah, instead of the Oscar, the BSer, or something.
Oh, we could get like a little plaque with a pair of hip waders on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. We'll have to put a little more thought into that one. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. Again, it's Sunday, December 27th, 2015. We just have a few more days in the year, and we will be turning into bridging the gap, I guess, so to speak, into 2016. Who knows what that year holds for us, because, 2015 was a heck of a ride. I don't know about anybody else, but Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Just wanted to jump in here. I spoke to our webmaster a while ago. The chat room is going in and out this morning. It may or may not be working on your particular computer. He is aware of the problem. The ultimate solution, he says, is that we're going to be getting a different chat room soon.
Wow, that's been overdue, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evidently, just saying.
Evidently, the warranty ran out on this one, so we will limp along with it in the meantime.
Yeah, it's probably...
All right, well, thanks for that.
Probably like Windows 98 version or something, you know?
Windows 3.1.
Exactly. DOS. We have a DOS chat room. MS-DOS. You have to type in the code in order to get in.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will be working out soon. Anyway, we're streaming worldwide. Again, you can try to go to the chat room when hopefully they'll get it fixed, but if not, maybe next week. You can call in at 530-605-4567. And all of our shows are podcast and archives as well. And you can go to friend me on Facebook at sovereignminds.com. At Sovereign Minds, I'm sorry, at Facebook, it's not a .com, never mind, move on. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. I don't think they're meeting every Monday night because I don't think they're there tomorrow night, are they?
No, yeah. Meeting tomorrow night, not till after the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it's holiday sleepy time.
It's holiday sleepy time.
I think everybody needed a break.
I think everybody needed a break. I mean, we got to have some energy gathering up here for the new year coming in because... You know, it's not getting any better out there, folks. I know, I'm the purveyor of doom. I know, it's the doom, gloom, boom report. But you know something? Has anybody seen anything getting better? I mean, you know, other than maybe our relationships with our family. We're getting closer, and yeah.
We don't have a choice. Our choices are slimming down.
I think I've seen an improvement in people. You know, that's... talking to a lot of people, I think this is the first Christmas season in literally 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years that people were a little bit festive. They were, you know, there was Merry Christmases going back and forth in parking lots and at the stores. And, you know, there was a little touch of that old Christmas feeling back. Not nowhere near where it used to be, but you could almost sense the undertone of it.
Well, you know, it takes dark days, you know, what happens in dark days is it brings out the worst and the best in people. I think you see such a contrast of things. You know, in a backward glance in 2015, it's not real pretty. You know, we got wars, terrorism, fear-mongering, economic decline, political deception, you know. But still, there's a lot to be thankful for if you think about it. I mean, there's you know, we still have our health.
Could always be worse out there.
It could always be worse.
You have to look at that side of it.
And you know something, I think foremost on that list is that we are in a battle for truth and freedom, and we are gaining strength and effectiveness. And I think that's a huge deal because, you know, people have to realize that we started, you know, behind the eight ball 5, 6, 7 years. What is it, 7 years now we started this thing?
Pretty close to it, huh?
You know, and... you know, and who would have thought 7 years ago that we would have a radio program or you know, that the
state...
Well,
who would have thought that we had to go to this extent and keep plugging along at this extent?
Yeah, who would have thought that how much weaselness was, you know... I mean, we got the inappropriate assumption of the blended path. We had an inappropriate assumption of weaselness and at every level of government. I mean, we've been completely fooled by the fact that these people are fake almost 90% of the time.
I think what the state of Jefferson did for me is, I mean, before he got involved with that and, you know, everybody was kind of starting to coalesce around that and everything, is I knew it was bad out there. I knew there was issues. I had no idea how endemic it was and how much it was at every level.
Yeah, the depth of it.
I mean, you know, the crossing guards taking $5 off the kids to get them across the street.
Yeah.
It's like,
It doesn't stop.
Man.
You just...
It is epidemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Start
when
peeling the onion back and all of a sudden it's like, holy...
Yeah, and then with the media not reporting stuff. I mean, I'm looking at this. This is a post from Hot Air on December 5th. Okay, I get it. Hotair.com. But nobody is talking about Bunny Friend Park. And this is a story that I've kind of run across, and I haven't researched it in depth. But evidently there was a shooting, you know, in this Bunny Friend Park in New Orleans. It happened on November 22nd, yep, where you know, 17 people were wounded, including a 10-year-old boy and one victim who may never walk again, you know, in an outburst of violence that authorities, you know, said were gang-related. A hell of bullets in the parks, blah, 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 blah. But I guess the fact that the people who, the perpetrators of this, were black gang members just wasn't worthy of the news.
No.
And
where's the president's comment on gun control and all, you know?
And, you know, I'm not trying to start anything between the blacks and the whites here as much as I'm saying, what kind of media bias is that crap? You know, where you just pick and choose anything.
Yeah, let's be fair across the board.
Right. They just pick and choose the narrative to suit their own ends. And, you know, so I would like to see people do their own research on this stuff. You know, I'm throwing this out there as something to do a little of your own homework and see if this comes up, you know, and you'll find that it took place. It's there. It's real. But how can that not be reported across the mainstream media unless the mainstream media has a biased agenda of its own narrative for whatever reason?
Or taking their marching orders from somebody that's paying their salary?
Take your pick.
Well, they're propagandists.
You know, I got another one here. AP Newsbreak. Feds won't accept Missouri driver's licenses. This is Jefferson, Missouri, and this is from Yahoo News, and the date is December 23rd. Missouri residents will soon not be able to use their state driver's license as an identification to get into federal facilities. Make it one of at least five states to lose federal exemption for complying with national proof of identity requirements. Now, what?
Yeah. So what
are
they
supposed
to? Yeah.
That is in retaliation for the law that goes into effect January 1st in Missouri. Missouri's legislature just passed a law that will automatically repeal, revoke, and keep out any federal law that is not enshrined in the Constitution. It's not even an option now in the state of Missouri for the federal government to enforce a law that's not granted the power in the Constitution.
So that what that tells you is that this is what the founding fathers had fear of, was an overreaching, out of control, big centralizing federal government that would suck the life out of the states. And you're starting to see the states fight back here at more and more and more in different ways, whether it's, you know, Utah making gold and silver legal tender, or right now Texas is trying to is repatriating their gold from a New York bank, probably HSBC, I think, was the bank. You know, but I mean, does it really matter whether it's HSBC, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs? It's all the same cast of characters. But they're repatriating their gold to a Texas depository so they can set up a gold-backed currency. Wow. And I guess that just didn't make the news.
No. Or, you know, the continuing fight with Utah is reclaiming their federal lands as state lands. They're not anybody in the mainstream media report that the feds folded up shop and went home on that, and beginning of the year, the Utah is taking control of over 6.5 million acres of the land within their state that they're going to put into use and put back on the tax rolls. And the federal government, who everybody says, oh, they own the land, they packed their bags and left because they knew they couldn't
They don't have the authority to do it.
Well, and that's where we come back to the constitutional sheriffs and so forth, and the legal system, you know, actually getting the feds out of it. That's why I'm so dead set against this big battle in our county of on drugs. You know, I hate drugs. Don't get me wrong.
Well, who likes them?
Well,
I mean, besides the ones out there using them, I mean, the rest of us, it's not like we like them.
Well, they're a blight on society in a lot, you know, pretty much in general, if you ask me. But they shouldn't be controlled at the federal level because of all of those strings that get attached to that federal money. And then what happens is, instead of being regulated by the state or the local community, you know, this big overreaching federal government that's out of control, you know, starts to control your local communities, your through the money, you know, fundings, you know, we got, you know, new SUVs to fight the
drug war. Well, yeah, their priorities become distorted.
That's right. They're not protecting the people's rights anymore. They're protecting the federal government's agenda.
Right.
And so, you know, that's a problem, and that's, you're going to see more of that. But it's all kind of interrelated. The drug is the biggest example of it. And, you know, I want to make certain that everybody understands. I hate drugs. I mean, I'm not pro-drugs, but I am pro-local and state control over drugs, not federal control over everything. It's not in the Constitution. They shouldn't have it there in the first place. But, you know, you look at the state gold depository.
Why was that a Freudian slip?
Well, I was just going to comment about the drugs. What happens then when your police and your sheriff...
The Norm Crosby slip up there, yeah.
Your police and sheriff are just interested in drugs and letting all the big offenses go untouched. Well, you know what I mean?
In other words, we want to take this gold and we want to put it right up the federal government's vault.
Yes.
You know, and get it out of the federal government. Maybe we should, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry.
But anyway, like I say, you know, it makes me worry about the drugs, you know, is that they're all focused on the drugs, and then you got people out here raping and killing or whatever else bad offenses are out there, and they're kind of like...
The hypocrisy through the whole system is endemic. It's, okay... If you look at the data, prescription drugs kill more than any other drug in this country, okay? But we're okay with that because it's made by a corporation that makes donations
to politicians. Yeah, good money.
And it's prescribed by a doctor. Okay, everybody's okay with alcohol and the drunk driving deaths, and we're willing to accept those casualties to liberty. But when it comes to something like marijuana or something else, oh, it's different because I don't like it.
Yeah, because I think alcohol's good or whatever, and it's acceptable. But yeah, it's really a freedom issue. I personally, I think that they should all kill themselves. You know, as far as the drugs go, I mean, what it comes down to is, do you have the right to ingest something in your body, you know, and even if it means your death. And I think that that's the only way you're going to sort it out.
No, you don't, according to the government, don't have a right.
But you're going to do it anyway. See, that's the whole point, is you don't solve the problem by regulating it and say you can't do it. It's like saying it's illegal to commit suicide. Well, does that stop anybody from committing suicide?
No, but if you're unsuccessful, they give you a ticket.
And arrest you and put you under lock and key.
The only way you're going to stop drugs is education and regulate it at the local level so they don't drive, they don't sell to kids, just like you do alcohol, and give them the freedom to kill themselves just like you do an alcoholic. Because the ones that will realize that they're killing themselves might wake up, and the ones that will never realize will never wake up. So it doesn't really matter. You can't help them in either case.
Just an update. The chat room appears to be working better now. I was not able to get in earlier, but I am now. And I would recommend everybody refresh their computers or log out and log back in if you were having trouble earlier.
All right. Mm-hmm. We will do that.
It says Tatonka, Tatonka. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. But, you know, and as Linda was saying about the sheriff and going after the marijuana busts and things like that, you can't even really blame the sheriff for that. Because you have a sheriff, because the state of California hands back the money that the counties contribute in little dribs and drabs. They're choking the life out of the counties and giving them just enough money to be afloat. The sheriff has no budget, so he's got to go after federal goodies. Where does the federal government give you goodies? For going after the pot fields.
Well,
excuse me. Yeah, I agree with that. But, again, they're distracting us again, you know, from the real problems that are going on in our community. It's not the drugs, more or less. There's a lot of other things that are underlining that.
The drugs are a blight, no question.
Yeah.
But how do you solve it? And do you give the control to the federal government or to the locals? And, you know, with that goes the civil asset forfeiture stuff that's been going on. Now, we're going to do a special on this coming up. We haven't got around to doing the research for it. But, you know, how much is being confiscated in our county is the question, without a trial. you know, without being charges being filed, you know, or even the surrounding counties. I know personally of one that has happened where they just came in and basically took everything the guy owns on the and didn't charge him with anything and just took all his stuff.
Well, no, they charged his assets. They charged his property for the crime.
Yeah, and so the property needs to prove that it didn't commit the crime. Now, excuse me. Getting back to this Lone Star State gold depository, the first batch of gold destined for the new depository will be likely 5,600 gold bars owned by the University of Texas Investment Management Company. The bars, valued at about $600 million, are currently stored in the vault at HSBC Bank in New York. Okay, so why is this important? Because this is a flight away from the shaky financial system that people who have understanding of economics, not Keynesian voodoo, that most of these people have been, you know, spoon-fed pablum economics, you know, to fit into the narrative that the federal government and the big bankers like to have out there, so that, you know, gee, who's benefiting from this printing of the money and the charging of the interest on the money that isn't the United States? You know, it used to be United States notes, now it's Federal Reserve notes. But who's benefiting from this, and why is that causing so much distortions in the world economy? That's really the bottom line, is that what this is a breakout, a revolt from the current financial system that is centralizing all power into a world governing organization through the central banks and so forth. And I think people are starting to wake up to the fact that that is a truth and not a myth.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, you can't even cover it up if you try.
Well, I think for so long people just took it for granted that we, like, owned our own money and we were in control of our own money, and that it wasn't a private bank, because we're supposed to.
So, if you want to take over a country, what's the best way to do it? Divide and conquer everybody.
Right.
What you do is you get control of the money, and then what you do is get control of the media, and then what you do is you only cover the stories that fit the narrative of divide and conquer and keeping everything centralized in Washington and so forth, while you manipulate the Washington politicians with money. Not that they are ever being bought off up at that level or on the take or anything. I can, you know, and they wouldn't own any place like Monsanto or anything like that. And so, you know, it comes full circle to what we're talking about, you know. Now, I got a story here, which is kind of interesting, from ARS Technica. And FDA and CDC probe second wave of Chipotle E. coli outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you wouldn't think that that would have anything to do with what we're talking about.
Unless
you realize that it's interesting that the cases and all this stuff started after Chipotle said they were going to go 100% GMO, you know, getting rid of the GMO.
Right, which they were pretty well had that accomplished.
Yeah, and who's promoting the GMO?
Monsanto. DuPont.
DuPont and these big corporations that really don't really care about us, I don't think, other than, you know, controlling.
Although I have discovered Frankenfood is not a reference to Al Franken.
Okay.
So they have, like, Stuart Smalley bars. Or yes, I'm good enough, and I'm smart enough
because
to
I'm
eat
good food. Enough.
There we go.
I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Have a Stuart Smalley bar.
Yeah, there you go.
There you have it. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, we want to say have a shout-out to Lori out there. Thanks for the Christmas booty. And I'm talking about the bags with the candy and
Christmas
so forth.
Christmas bags.
Boy, you're in rare form today.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm going to put that in the nice.
We won't go. Hey,
it's not me that has the minds here. You guys, it's like, what the heck?
Sorry. Yeah, right.
Wash your brains out with soap.
I apologize.
Yeah, it's all
love. These tea candies are freaking amazing, though.
They are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm going to try mine.
They're great.
Yeah, but we want to say thank you to Lori out there. You know, when I first walked in and saw it, I could just see my name in the huge bag. I was going to claim all the presents that were in there.
There you have it. So what else did I want to? Okay, I got the red flag. I guess we need to go to a break.
Do we need to go to a break? All right. If you guys want to call in and discuss something with us, have a question or a comment, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dues until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Carl, it's holiday time, and I feel like a special holiday mocha. Take me to Espresso Joe's inside Tobacco and Brew right now.
Yeah, and while we're there, let's walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the North State and find some great cigars for your dad, your brother, and me. Some of the highest-rated cigars by Cigar Aficionado.
That's right, and we can browse and buy special coffee beans, tea accessories, and let's look through the wonderful wine selection. That's 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hop in the truck, hon. Let's go.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Yes, yes, it will.
Yeah, our next segment is going to be on CalPERS. And we have some stuff to go back to on the other subjects. But, you know, I mean, you know, while we're dwelling into, you know, pure imagination, let's talk about CalPERS. And, you know, that was kind of like the year of you. We've been hammering.
I don't know. Red's not going to be able to talk much over there at the radio show.
It's so perfect. This ought to be their theme song. Like when you bring up the website, it ought to play this song.
I mean, okay, so I brought up part of the website here in the news, you know, the, you know, press releases and so forth. And, you know, one of the things here that comes up is CalPERS signs Paris Climate Change Pledge.
What? Yes.
Okay, let's see. This is dated December 14th. Sacramento, California, the Public Employees Retirement System, known as CalPERS, signs the Paris Pledge for Action, a commitment to support and implement the Paris Agreement, the global climate change agreement reached at the 21st Conference of the Parties, the COP21. Pledge was coordinated by the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change and the United Nations body responsible for climate efforts. Now, this is right on their website. I'm reading it right off of their website. Now,
well, what was it, eight months ago when we told everybody, hey, CalPERS has got one leg left. It's their energy portfolio, and they're going to begin to divest it because the UN wants them to. And everybody goes, oh, that's nonsense.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
They're just posting this stuff because they watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right?
Right.
You know, and this is the everlasting gobslobber here. Really? I mean, as a professional money man, a professional financial consultant and investor, okay, I want my, you know, money to be parked in stuff that has a political slant for climate change? Mm-hmm. Or am I worried about my retirement here? I'm not sure. Because, you know, if I invest in places like Solyndra and, you know, oh, I don't know, things like that, and they go under because of, you know, I wanted to invest for the good of the globe as opposed to the good of my family.
They're investing in fiction, in nonsense.
Imagination?
Anna Stauspol, CalPERS Chief Executive Officer, says, as a long-term investor, we understand that climate change presents risks not only to the environment, but also businesses. We also recognize that businesses have the opportunity to develop innovative solutions to correct these problems. We support the Paris Agreement and the Paris Pledge for Action as a vital step into tackling climate change. By signing the pledge, CalPERS is committing to continuing implementation of their climate change responsiveness efforts, including Global Investor Statement on Climate Change, the Montreal Pledge, the Pocantico Statement, joins other signatories committed to climate leadership, including 20 countries from five continents that signed Jerry Brown's agreement.
Yeah. So going back to the conversation way back this morning on the Jefferson State of Mind about people that are worried about losing their CalPERS, you've lost your CalPERS. It's gone already. I don't know what you're worried about.
It. Yeah,
it's done.
You just don't even know it. I mean, because if you're so screwed up that you think that you should invest your money for retirement based on a political assumption, you're in trouble in the first place. I mean, you're supposed to be investing into rock solid things in the marketplace, or, you know, bonds or assets that, you know, you can use as a funding source down the road to replace your existing income. Just not worried about some carbon credits.
You just said it. That's going to be the next investment phase for CalPERS, is they're going to get into the carbon credit market. Can to this day someone please tell me what the hell a carbon credit is? What is it?
It's a credit based on carbon usage that is valuable because someone wrote it out in a contract and said it was valuable. And you have to buy it by contract law if you're involved in these exchanges. Was that good enough?
No, what is it?
I'm selling you frickin' hot air, dude.
How much
literally
is it?
On
okay,
air.
Well,
okay. Literally. Well,
now I'm curious. Okay, I can buy into the whole concept of you are now is carbon credit from Quebec worth more than say a Norwegian carbon credit?
A Norwegian carbon credit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, how do you determine the value of a carbon credit? Are they all equal?
They're having a summer sale.
I guess it depends if you're the gatekeeper or not.
Can I steal a carbon credit? Like, can I run out into the middle of the national forest with a vacuum, like on Spaceballs? Like, you ever seen the movie Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Where they go to steal Planet Duridia's air, and they show up and their spaceship turns into a giant vacuum cleaner and they suck all the air out? Can I do that? Can I run out into the middle of the forest with a vacuum and, like, collect carbon credits and then go down to a market and sell them?
I don't know. I want to know if you do that.
Depends
if I can get my carbon credits back out of your vacuum, how do I do it?
If you use the Schwartz, you can.
I have such a horrible time trying to get my brain around the carbon credit thing. Okay, for example, we've got a Norwegian power company that are buying carbon credits off of Sierra Pacific.
Hmm.
Right? Now, my question is, what if the forest burns down? Are their carbon credits still any good?
I don't know.
Maybe
they're better.
Are they liable for the carbon that went into the air because the trees burned down?
I guess you have to read the contract.
Do you have to buy insurance for your carbon credits?
You know, it's kind of like, reminds me of that old Amos and Andy joke. You know, where there's Amos and Andy, and Amos says, hey, Andy, can you sign the contract? He says, what do the contracts say? And he says, you see all the big letters? He says, yeah. He says, that gives it all to you. And he says, yeah, but what does all the little letters say? He says, that takes it all away. That's the truth.
It is. I'm just a knuckle dragging idiot. Okay.
So we could do a whole segment on that, but you know, let's move on.
Well, yeah. Well,
sorry.
Keep going.
Well, yeah, and I understand there seems to be some holes in the whole theory of the carbon credit market, and these are smart, brilliant business people that are buying into this crap.
Are those the holes in the ozone layer? Are those the one and the same ones that are in the credit carbon market?
Well, I would imagine that a carbon credit from Australia is worth less because it's been exposed to more ultraviolet light, right? So it's a tainted carbon credit. It can't be nearly as valuable as, say, one over Alaska.
Hmm. I will have to ponder that at length because I'm not sure that, you know.
Again, I think it depends if you're the gatekeeper or not. If I'm the gatekeeper, it all depends on the amount of money I can get for that carbon credit.
There's too much voodoo didgeridoo here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who's benefiting from all this, I guess, is the question. Follow the money.
The green mafia.
Follow the money. Certainly not going to be the investors at CalPERS. I mean, I'm going on to read this statement here. While much work needs to be done, the Paris Agreement and Associated Pledge are a turning point, says Ann Simpson, CalPERS Investment Director of Global Governance and Speaker at the COP21. What? Who are these people? Why are they managing anybody's funds at all? Months of negotiating on a global scale led to COP21, which for the first time brought together a powerful alliance of international, national, and local government commitments with the backing of investors and businesses. So what that sounds like to me is that we're going to have a consortium of investors and business and local governments siphoning off the money to throw into pet projects like Solyndra and, you know, that are probably going to fold out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on the blended glide path to hell and destruction. I mean, where are we going with all this finance crap anyway? Look across the board at any government financial, it's the ineptitude is absolutely phenomenal. Global governance is what we're investment club? What?
Yeah, I believe they call that the public-private partnership.
And right now, you know, for more than eight decades. you know, for more than eight decades, CalPERS has built retirements and health security for state, schools, public agency members who invest their life work into in public service. Our pension fund serves more than 1.7 million members in the CalPERS retirement system and administers benefits for more than 1.4 million members and their families in our health program, making it the largest defined benefit public pension in the U.S. CalPERS total... shut the phone off. CalPERS total fund market value currently stands at $295 billion. Now, does anybody really believe that with this investment strategy that is going to be intact, that $295 billion, if we have another market downturn?
It's not intact now. There's not really that much money in there.
Well, we know by their own admission that they're only 70% funded. So they're 30% unfunded, and we already know that they've overvalued their assets. Mm-hmm. If you look at the value, the fair market value, and the value they've booked, there's a huge discrepancy there. So, you know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody in CalPERS or anybody in the state retirement system as much as I'm firing a warning shot here saying, have you read any of this stuff? Do you know what your money's invested in? Do you know what the investment strategy is of the people that you're giving all your money to?
I know nothing. Nothing.
Well, that's another thing is about a third of their investment portfolio, that $294 billion that they claim to have, a third of that is in junk mortgage bonds from
Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Sally something?
Sally Mae or whatever.
Sally Mae.
Was that Raleigh Sally Mae?
Yeah.
No, never mind.
But it's... And here's the thing, is they're continuing to value those portfolios on what the current market value was at the high watermark. They're not valuing them at what they are now. And then come to find out, some of these are mortgage properties that don't even exist. They're mortgage futures. They're on properties that were never even built. They bought mortgage rights to properties that weren't even built or ever sold to people.
Well, and when we talk about the largest defined benefit public pension in the U.S., you have to realize that it used to be that it wasn't a defined benefits plan. It was a defined contribution plan. Ever since we've got this defined benefits plan, you're starting to see the public pensions are going to go belly up. Why? Because when you have a defined benefits plan, it does not matter what the market does. You have promised 7.5% of a rate of return on the investments for the people who are in the fund. Well, what happens when the market does 10% minus? Where does the money come from? What happens when the market doesn't do 7%? Have we done 7% for a while?
Not hardly.
10 years.
10 years now. What happens if we have an economic downturn? What happens if we have a recession in this big booming economy that we have right now that's on the blended glide path to solvency? Or was it the inappropriate assumption? I can't remember because they've masked this. They're not telling people, and they've got all these little, informative education seminars that are going on across. They'll come in and explain everything to you. You know, the stuff that they're peddling is pablum.
Mm-hmm. And you take the fact that for every 0.25% that they miss on what they need to stay solvent and on the glide path, for every 0.25% that they miss is equal to 4% to the local municipality's exposure. For every 0.5% that they're missing, the local municipality's on the hook goes up by 4%. And then you take a city like the city of Reading, who is at 240% of payroll already.
Yeah,
let's bring it back down to the local level here. It's not only going to affect the people in CalPERS. It's going to affect anybody in the city and municipalities that are funding these defined benefits programs and the budgets at these local levels. And if you don't think we're in trouble, then you need to go do a little research on this, okay? You know, you bring this full circle with everything that's going on, and we have a serious problem here that is not going away, that is only going to get worse.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, CalPERS gets to throw up their hands and walk away and go, not our problem. Shasta County, you got to come up with that money. City of Reading, you got to come up with that money.
The moral of the story is that we're insolvent, and you need to take steps to protect yourself from the inappropriate assumption of solvency.
Mm-hmm.
because we're on the blended guide path, glide path. Which should be guide path because we need CNI dogs because we're running blind through this crap because the guys who are supposed to be monitoring this stuff are a bunch of left-wing ideological idiots that are getting paid. Oh, by the way, they do have a place where you can become a member or be an employee. They need more employees down at CalPERS because you get benefits and all this stuff and you can sign up and they.
Well, maybe when they go insolvent, they can give everybody shares and carbon credits.
Well, it'll be kind of like when the banks go belly up, you'll get shares in the bank instead of your money,
give you a piece of paper.
It's really hard to meet a payroll with the stock in an insolvent bank.
Yeah.
Just like it's pretty hard to meet your retirement plan with investments in an insolvent plan that's based its investment strategies on left-wing ideologically stupid arguments.
Yeah, can my share of the company be at least a brick off the building so I get something to throw at you?
Well, that's what they did in Argentina a few years back, They sat out there in front of the banks, and they just kept banging on the banks with hammers and everything, and pretty soon they were chipping stuff off the bank. Look it up. There's a PBS special on it. Have Venezuela going bankrupt. The banks closing them down. I'll have to look up the link here. Maybe I can do it over the break here. We'll go to a break and I'll come up with the link. But that's where we're headed. And so, Happy New Year!
And with that, if you have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit soj51.net to show your support.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there.
Kyle DeFoor from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs,
and great information. That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort at Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
Hello, this is Bad Bob Belongi, producer for Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of community talk radio. From our radio family to your household, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a safe holiday weekend. Carl and Linda will be back on Monday to start us on the run towards the end of the year. In the meantime, warm wishes and thank you for being part of the KCNR listening community. From all of us here at the station, Merry Christmas, KCNR 1460. You miss a day, you'll miss a lot.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. And, yeah, we're all right. It's, you know, the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're snacking out. We got the tea candies. We got the peanuts over there in the gallery. And
these tea candies are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are good.
They're good.
Awesome. I can't
lick them all day long.
I'm still looking up this link for this financial crisis in Venezuela. It's a PBS special that they did, and the meltdown that happened down there. And, you know, I highly recommend that anybody, you know, get and find that. I'll see if I can get the links here during one of these breaks and look at it. The other thing I'm recommending right now, is anybody out there seen The Big Short yet?
Mm-mm.
And we're looking for maybe some callers to call in on that one if anybody's watched it, seen it. And I hear that it is the movie to see. It explains the it's supposed to be very well done. Excuse me. It has Steve Carell in it and Christian Bale and Ryan Gosling and Brad Pitt. And it tells the story of the big banks, high inside, you know, the insiders of the world high finance who screwed up the whole thing, and you know, how they weren't very smart as everybody thinks, and but they were good criminals. And so you know, I want to go out and see it, and I'm real anxious to see it. But if we can get a report back from anybody when they see it, that'd be great.
Yeah. I'll probably get a couple of days coming up and off and go check it out myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that too.
Before we wandered away from the CalPERS thing, though, too far, I wanted to throw something out there because there's been something that I've been thinking about. We hear a lot of times, oh, you guys talk about how bad it is, but you never give any solutions. Well, I've been thinking about that, and that's not always necessarily true because, number one, at what point do you come up with your own solution and you pull your big boy britches on and figure out what to do for yourself? There's an extent to that, and there's an extent, too, where what you're supposed to do about it is really, really obvious. You just don't like that answer.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We give a lot of solutions, but nobody likes the answers, you know, because that means that you have to look at what you've been doing, take stock of your blended glide path, and figure out how to change it so that it benefits you and not some government
agency. Well, and sometimes
agency.
You have to be out of your comfort zone. You know, and you can't have everything,
well, yeah,
so you may have to, you know, the choice that you may have to take to change it may not always be the easiest path to
well,
go.
Well, no, like there's a solution to CalPERS. If you're a CalPERS employee, there is a solution, but it is a major step. It's a drastic step. stop being a CalPERS employee, get your money out of CalPERS, and get it into something solid. Yeah. But nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to do that. And then they go, oh, you're just doom and gloom, and you never give any solutions. No, you're unwilling to accept the truth because you might have to do something that's uncomfortable.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's it. And, you know, I was kind of looking at, and we might talk about this too, about the Third Amendment to the Constitution of the Bill of Rights. And it talks about quartering soldiers, and I'm going to play a little clip on this later. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, the solutions are sometimes very scary and very uncomfortable, but there's still the solutions, and because the alternatives are not good.
Right, there's always options out there. And we're at the top of the hour. They're going to cut us off. Please stay tuned, and we'll pick up this conversation on the other side. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567.
You mean the solutions don't have a soft guarantee?
guarantee of a soft landing, I think?
Yeah.
This is KCNR 1460.
Stay tuned for hour number two of Sovereign Minds here on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Here's this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. With the new year just around the corner, presidential candidates are looking forward to the early primaries and caucuses. Republican Ben Carson says he hopes voters will take him seriously in a race that's mostly been dominated by Donald Trump.
I hope people will not be fooled by just, you know, loud speech and gesticulations. I hope people will actually look at what has happened in a person's life, because that's a much better indicator of their strength.
He was a guest on CBS TV's Face the Nation. Forecasters say the threat of severe weather is likely over for the Dallas area. At least 11 people were killed there yesterday from storms that spawned tornadoes and wreaked havoc all across the state. Days of tumultuous weather in the south have led to 29 deaths overall, those in Texas, plus 18 more in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Weeks of heavy rainfall continue to cause heavy flooding in northern England today, where evacuations have been ordered for hundreds more people. Police in the York area, north of London, advised more than 300 people today to leave their homes because of rising rivers. Americans responding to a new poll are turning thumbs down on 2015.
The somewhat gloomy outlook appears to be tied to the recent Muslim terrorist attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, California. The Associated Press Times Square Alliance poll found that 57% of Americans think 2015 was worse for the world as a whole than 2014 was. And 37% think it was worse for the United States, while 44% say they didn't see much difference. Bob Agnew reporting.
A 1,200-acre wildfire in coastal Southern California is now 60% contained, and evacuation orders are being lifted for dozens of homes. The Ventura County Fire Department says some 400 firefighters made great progress against the blaze. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
The frontrunner in Taiwan's presidential race said today she would seek stable relations with mainland China, but did not rule out revisiting the island's official stance on independence. Tsai Ing-wen, the opposition leader who had firmly held on to a sizable lead in the polls so far, used her platform today during the first debate to warn against the political rapprochement and deepening economic ties with the mainland brought by the ruling Nationalist Party, or KMT, since the 2008 elections. Says Wang, quote, "We cannot simply be bound to China." For 70 years since the Nazi defeat in World War II, copyright law has been used in Germany to prohibit the publication of Mein Kampf, the notorious anti-Semitic tome in which Adolf Hitler set out his ideology. That will change next month when a new edition with critical commentary is finally produced and hits German shelves. There is some concern amongst the Jewish community. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Christmas Day walk turns into tragedy.
Witnesses say they saw a man looking intently at his phone and not watching where he was going at San Diego's Sunset Cliffs when he apparently walked right off the edge. Those nearby were quick to react and climb down the 60-foot slope to try to administer aid to the victim until help could arrive, but when paramedics got there, the man in his 30s was pronounced dead at the scene. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, December 27th, the 361st day of 2015. There are just 4 days left in the old year. On this date in history, 1927, the musical Showboat, with music by Jerome Kern and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II, opened at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York. On this date in 1945, the World Bank was established. And on this date in 1968, Apollo 8 and its crew of three astronauts made a safe nighttime splashdown in the Pacific Ocean. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Back. This is the second hour of Sovereign Mind Radio, community radio for the North State. I highly suggest. All right. And I didn't hear laughter yet.
I think tea candy is kicking in. I see.
Yeah, tea candy and the coffee.
It's just doing its work.
It's doing its work.
No more holidays for you.
You couldn't wait to cut the twiggy. Anyway.
And may the Schwartz be with you.
Yes, it's Spaceballs quote. I gotta love it.
Oh, boy. Let me try that again. You can call in at 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567.
Yay!
On the blended glide path to imperfection. So, anyway, we're here in the studio, and we've been talking about all things CalPERS and, you know, other issues as well. I kind of had to go back to the story about the meat, the tainted meat at...
Chipotle's,
okay. Because this kind of feathers in with this other story. This is from UPI.com. Congress repeals country of origin labeling for meat. Now, let that sink in just a little bit. Now, we just had our esteemed local congressman vote to not pass the omnibus bill, which was the right vote. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. It was the right vote. I mean, you know, I've got a clip here from Ron Paul saying that nobody read it. They got it.
Surprise.
It was like 2,200 and something pages. He said he didn't know what was all packed into that bill, so he had to vote against it. So our congressman sided in the same camp with Rand Paul, and to vote against this budget that was funding everything that Obama wanted. They gave him everything.
Amnesty,
Planned Parenthood, refugees, all of it. Gave them all. In exchange for everything that the Republican side wanted, which was tax breaks and funding for their special projects, more funding for the war effort. You know, so in other words, what they did was they both spent more money on both sides of the aisle, and they didn't trim a damn thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I applaud Congressman LaMalfa for voting against that. But did he vote to repeal the country of origin labeling for meat?
I don't think so.
No, he didn't vote for that. What he did do was vote for the TPA that required Congress to repeal that.
So, but maybe I'm misunderstanding something here. So, but basically, so this was part of the omnibus bill. Okay, so it says, Washington, it will be hard to tell where your beef and pork comes from with the repeal of the country of origin labeling in the U.S., United States. Congress repealed the rules, which began in 2009, with a measure added to the omnibus bill on Friday. Obama signed the bill into law. So with the repeal, comes after the World Trade Organization found labels were unfair to meat producers outside the United States. So the real question is, did Mr. LaMalfa actually
vote against it?
Vote against this, or did he vote against it before he voted for it, or after he voted for it?
Well, to an extent, yes. You know, that's going back to the TPA, and you know why we beat that so bad is to get people to understand the things that are going to begin happening because of the TPA that we brought up, and we were told, oh, you just read the internet too much, or you don't know what you're talking about, or all of these different things.
That's not what it really says.
Is it placed international trade regulations on American companies and American commerce, and removed American sovereignty over trade and put it into international courts. And when the international court deemed that country of origin labeling was a trade barrier, because if you got a choice between Vietnamese water buffalo and, you know, USDA choice beef, you're going to buy USDA choice beef instead of the water buffalo. Therefore, that's a trade barrier. Therefore, thanks to the TPA, we as an American company or the American people no longer get to know where our food comes from.
Well, and that's what this says, basically, is that Canada and Mexico last week were granted permission to impose more than, now wait a minute, from the World Trade Organization, Canada and Mexico last week were granted permission to impose more than $1 billion in import tariffs on U.S. goods if the labels were not removed. Who the hell is the World Trade Organization to impose on us, on our goods,
right,
tariffs? Why is the World Trade Organization involved in that at all?
Because the TPA authorized them to have that power.
Hmm.
Although I would willingly and readily make the argument that that entire thing is invalid, because nowhere in the Constitution is enshrined federal authority or congressional authority to surrender our sovereignty to anybody.
Well, it goes on to say, a wide range of industries lobbied Congress to remove the labeling requirements out of fear that tariffs would spread to other U.S. exports, from furniture to frozen orange juice. Groups representing small farmers and ranchers opposed removing the requirements, with small ranchers fearing a flood of cattle imports will depress prices and make it difficult for them to survive. Other countries of origin labeling remains in effect for things like fish and apples. So,
yeah, it's like Episode 6 of Star Wars, The Fascists Strike Back.
And everybody wonders why Trump's leaning. I mean, are you tired of this kind of crap? Are you tired of these negotiated, you know, things that are just bull crap for the American people and good for everybody else? Are you tired of, you know, all the jobs being shipped offshore to all these other places because, you know, we can't compete in the world marketplace with American goods because of the trade barriers and the currency manipulations? You know, I'm not saying that I'm loving Trump. But I'm just saying, I understand why everybody's going to vote for him, and he's probably going to win the presidency if they don't shoot him or do some dirty tricks at the Republican convention to get rid of him, because they're already talking about that crap, just like they did Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm. And something that I would like to point out, because I think it's a distinction that needs to be made. We, and people like us, are not upset at Congressman LaMalfa for knowingly voting for this. were upset at the fact that he unknowingly voted for this, that he voted for it and he didn't know, he didn't understand what it meant. And when people, his own constituents, tried to warn him, we were called all kinds of names, we were insulted, we were put down, we were marginalized and attacked by our own congressman, and we were absolutely 100% right. We still have not heard an apology out of his office or from his employees for that, and we're owed one as his people because we were right and the birds are coming home to roost.
Well, we could talk about your knuckle-dragging tendencies, but, you know, that's another
knuckle-dragging, bomb-throwing anarchist, apparently.
I think that was the quote and not your position.
Yes.
But it's true. It is true, and you get tired of this crap. So, you know, we're starting, you know, because what happens is that if we tell the, do you guys want the truth out there? If not, would, you know, we'll just turn into the other radio stations and the other programs that don't tell you anything, that give you the AP version of everything and don't dissect the news according to the truth. You know, I mean, otherwise we're going to stick to this. And what happens is we get attacked because of it. Mm-hmm. We get attacked because we're actually telling you the truth, because I'd rather hear the truth and at least dig to find the truth as opposed to listening and just parroting the crap that comes out of the AP in Washington, D.C. and the news medias and the mainstream, because, you know, I would rather know the truth and prepare for the worst and hope for the best as opposed to not knowing anything and waiting for the worst to hit me.
Well, you can't really prepare or do anything if you don't know the truth.
Right. That is one of the answers to the solutions. By getting the truth, you can actually change your course.
Yeah.
And modify it so that you start doing things like maybe storing some food or whatever you're going to do. Maybe getting out of CalPERS would be a good start, if you ask me. If you've been there for 40 years and you know the whole thing's getting ready to implode.
Bail.
You might want to bail. Just bail. Saying.
Yeah.
Get out with what you can.
Do your homework at least to see if what we're saying is true. See, that's the other thing that drives me crazy.
Well, that's with the CalPERS. You don't even have to do that much homework. It's on their own website. Go read it.
Oh, who wants to read?
Hey, don't believe us.
You're reading too much.
Bring up your own investment portfolio and look at it and go, oh, my God.
You're educating yourself again. Stop it.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're from Trinity County, aren't you?
I am.
That's the problem.
That is.
We've got a clip pulled up here. Let's go ahead and play this clip, and then we'll take a break afterwards.
Trinity raised and humbled, educated.
Okay, there you go.
Check your meat. Congress has repealed the law that required vendors to label the country of origin on meat packages. RT's Brigida Santos reports.
The World Trade Organization has given America's top two agricultural partners, which are Canada and Mexico, permission to impose more than $1 billion in retaliatory tariffs on U.S. companies who fail to remove country of origin labels from beef and pork packages. The move comes in response to pressure from cattle and hog producers in these partner countries who say their businesses have been negatively affected by this type of labeling. Back when the Country of Origin Labeling Requirement, or COOL, was first passed in 2009, many American consumers and agricultural leaders supported it, like Bill Bullard, CEO of RCAP USA. Bullard's organization represents thousands of U.S. cattle producers on international trade and was a driving force behind passing the original bill back in 2009. He says repealing COOL is the worst thing Congress has ever done, mainly because the U.S. Department of Agriculture relaxed its health and safety standards in the late 1990s on imports from developing countries. Since then, these countries are no longer required to meet food standards equal to those of the United States. This is where country of origin labels became significant. Labels informed consumers whether certain meats were up to par with American safety standards.
Because right now we're importing beef from 15 different countries. Many of those countries are developing countries that simply don't have the infrastructure to maintain the food safety systems that we have in the United States. So consumers are not going to be able to distinguish between beef produced right here in the United States of America versus the beef from 15 different countries.
A 2013 survey showed that 90% of Americans supported country of origin labeling. But despite this fact, many other cattle associations say they support the repeal. The reason being that COOL has allegedly cost them millions of dollars and led to hostile relations with trading partners.
Well, you have to look at these other cattle associations. They are, in fact, governed by the very national meat packers that are trying to destroy country of origin labeling. For example, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the largest cattle association in the United States, has multinational meat packers seated on their governing board.
I reached out to the USDA to find out whether it would now change its current safety standards to be tighter on foreign beef and pork under the new rule. The statement they gave me was this. All imported and domestic meat will continue to be subject to rigorous inspections by the USDA to ensure food safety.
The USDA is really duping the consumers into believing that country of origin labeling is simply not necessary. And we know for a fact that we have imported tainted food, even from countries like Canada that imported 2.4 million pounds of beef tainted with E. coli and had one of the largest recalls in the history of Canada.
The years between 2009 and 2014 were the strongest in agricultural trade history. The idea behind removing country of origin labels is that doing so will promote more trade. But in the process, why do consumers have to lose the right to know what they're consuming? Reporting from Los Angeles, Brigida Santos, RT.
Yeah, RT. That's Russian television, by the way. I mean, it just makes me...
For those of you who really want to know what's going on in America.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, unfortunately.
Just saying that makes me sick to my stomach. We're supposed to have the most journalistic, advanced integrity. This is America. You know, we were the beacon of truth. And now Russian television reports more than our own
we
networks.
We have to go
do?
To other places like Russia to get the truth?
Unbelievable.
Let's think about how sad it really is that you get stuck with us as your cutting edge of press. That's how bad it is, guys. You're stuck with us.
Leave it to Robert.
I'm sorry. We do the best we can, but...
Yeah, we're not exactly trained in journalism, you know. We have common sense. I've been trained in law and some legal aspects of the tax code and so forth, you know, so I'm good at research, but, yeah, I never went to... I don't even know what the name of the journal school is. What, do you go to Harvard? That's where Bill O'Reilly got his school in journalism? Or was it Boston College? I don't know. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that these media guys are so controlled that they don't report anything like that. I didn't even hear about that on the local Getting the Facts Right, Channel 7.
Al Jazeera's got better news than we do in this country.
It's unbelievable.
That's
how disgusting is that?
That's just not right.
So let's go back to CalPERS. I know we're going to cover the red flags today to some extent here pretty soon, but we've got to go to a break. But I want to come back to CalPERS because we're kind of jumping around between these couple of issues because I keep finding out more information on this as I'm looking around. Massive California pension fund blocks initiative to disclose fees charged by private equity firms. Now let that sink in. This comes from Michael Krieger at the Liberty Blitzkrieg .com. And basically what we're talking about here is crony capitalism and phony capitalism. And so let's go to a break and we'll come back.
All right.
Talk
if you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
That's a great little song, especially while we talk about CalPERS, because somewhere over the rainbow, and, you know, Anyway.
There's no pot of gold.
Yeah, that's good government retirement.
Yeah, the pot of gold has been stolen. We got this massive pension fund that is, you know, is blocking an initiative to disclose fees charged by private equity firms. Why do you think that would be? We also have a caller on the line.
Yeah, good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How you doing?
We're doing good. You?
The fun never stops. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. We're doing well. We had all the kids in, all 9,000 of them, and the grandkids. We had a good time, really good time. Everybody left.
Play football?
Belly, like sitting down, taking a breath.
Did you play football, Terry?
We played something called the beanbag toss instead.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little easier than throwing the football.
Okay.
One word to sum up the CalPERS situation and the government employees. One word. That's called denial.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And you guys are 100% spot on. One of the questions we've been getting from a lot of the people, especially the government employees, has been, well, what happens to my CalPERS? And we've directed them to the site. We've given them the facts that you guys give them. I talked to a city manager. A city manager. Not too long ago, I explained all this stuff to him. He goes, well, this has happened to CalPERS before. And I said, but CalPERS has never been in debt $1 trillion in unfunded liabilities before. And he was flat. You know, I don't even know what to say at this point other than we have mutual friends in different counties, one in particular that you know of real well, Mark, because you're kind of helping him with this. And he has just left the county, and he was told that, I will quote, that people are leaving and drawing their money out of CalPERS at record numbers.
Yeah, those are the smart ones.
I talked to somebody the other day, a friend, and I talked to her about her husband, and I could tell the skepticism, oh, you know, California would never do that kind of thing. And it's kind of like, you know, really and truly, you have to start understanding that these people do not have your best interest at heart.
That's the understatement of the year.
Yeah, you think? I knew you'd get a kick out of that one. You know, I mean, really, the word denial just is it. It's just it. Totally. It's insanity. I mean, and you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them. And go look at the site. Have you looked at the site? No. Well, you're a city manager. Go look at the site.
Yeah,
I mean, why even talk to me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's all over that thing. I mean, the climate change investment. I'm looking at this thing right here, at this report. This is from the International Business Times. Earlier in this month, the nation's largest pension public pension fund roiled the financial world officials overseeing $300 billion of California public employees' retirement savings disclosed that the fund had paid $3.4 billion in fees to private equity firms over the last two decades. The news of the fees and a call by the California Treasurer John Chang for legislation requiring more ongoing disclosure seemed to herald a new trend towards greater transparency at the time when the Securities and Exchange Commission has warned that the private equity investors may be getting hit hard by hidden fees. I mean, how much more can you say?
Well, the thing is it, again, my friend, it's denial. Nobody, you know, I mean, nobody really, it's just denial. I mean, I didn't even know where to go from there, other than the fact that there are a lot of people catching on, which is a good thing. But I'm going to let you guys go, and I'm going to get on the listening mode of this program. And thanks for all you do. Thanks for your program. And you guys are spot on CalPERS. Spot
all right,
on.
Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Well, that's a lot of the things that we said were coming down the pipe for almost a year, 8 months now, are coming to fruition now. It's happening. And, you know, you were talking about how CalPERS is refusing to disclose that information. They're refusing to disclose that information to their own board of directors.
Do you know, here's the answer. Okay, this is an answer from CalPERS. Some CalPERS board members said they were concerned that the measure might alienate private equity firms, therefore denying pensioners the benefit of those investments. Are you
what a load of?
Are you kidding me?
Caught myself one.
I mean, what a ridiculous argument! Oh, the guys that are stealing from you, you don't want to tell all the investors about it because it might alienate the guys that are stealing from you.
Yeah. They don't want people to know that they're stealing, so let's stop them because, yeah, that doesn't even make any sense. But that's the CalPERS board of directors actually has one of their own directors
right here
that is suing CalPERS and committing a Freedom of Information Act request to get the information from CalPERS because they won't even disclose it to their own board.
So there's one honest guy. I mean, the initiative introduced December 14th by CalPERS board member J.J. Jelinkic. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. It's J-E-L-I-N-C-I-C. Jelinkic? That's a weird name. Anyway, would have blocked the pension firms from signing any new deals with private equity firms that do not disclose any and all types of fees, carry discounts, rebates, and any other forms of economic rent charged to investors. The move came after Jelinkic, compelled a top CalPERS official to publicly admit that the state does not know the total amount of fees pensioners are now paying to firms in its $28 billion private equity portfolio. I mean, in recent years, the SEC has sounded the alarm about these hidden fees charged by private equity firms. So what the heck is going on? If you think that this is the tip of the iceberg, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, so you got to, they're funneling money to guys who are charging exorbitant fees on the investments, and the investments are going into climate change crap
and their investments
global warming.
That are not even meeting the criteria of what needs to be met. Remain solvent.
And let's just sign an agreement in Paris, you know, with all these countries about exchanging carbon credits and whatever else in that screwed up frickin' global warming agreement, you know, that is designed to consolidate, you know, power into a world governing body. Wow. Like the UN or the IMF or the BIS, you know, I mean, wow. And none of this made it on MSN and LSD.
No. And see, that's the responsibility, because what is the average working guy? You know, he goes to work for the state, he does his job, he gets his money taken out of his check, he works his 20 years or whatever it is and has an expectancy of being able to retire and enjoy the rest of his life. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way that the program's supposed to go. And as far as he knows, that's what's going on. How does the average pensioner, the average guy going to work, know that his fund is being liquidated and siphoned off by private equity firms, that they are completely missing their targets to keep his fund funded, that the exposure to the local municipalities is going to bankrupt him, and when that happens, he becomes an unsecured creditor and is in the back of the line for his money, and he'll see 2 to 3 cents on the dollar of what he's owed, if that.
Yeah. Right.
The average guy has no clue.
Listen to this story, just goes on. This is the gift that keeps on giving. Despite the at times disconcerting polite tone, the SEC has now announced that more than 50% of the private equity firms it has audited have engaged in serious infraction of securities laws. These abuses were detected thanks to Dodd-Frank. Really? Private.
That's scary.
Jeez. Private equity general partners have been unregulated since early 2012, when they were required to, you know, abide by SEC regulations on investment as investment advisors. Bowden, I guess it is. Bowden, I guess he's the SEC guy. Pointed out that private equity is unique among investors advisors at the SEC that the SEC supervises. The general partners' control of portfolio companies give them access to their cash flows, which their GPs, their general partners, can divert into their own pockets in numerous ways. State legislators need to understand what's going on here. They have granted public pension funds and public endowments across the U.S. the exorbitant privilege of secrecy in banking equity investments, even to the point of making these contracts virtually the only ones that are exempt from state-level Freedom of Information Acts. Laws. Let that sink in.
So you won't disclose the information to your own board of directors because you're going to get caught doing something illegal. So the guy actually goes to do a Freedom of Information Act to get the information. So you turn around and make it. How can you make it exempt? How do you make anything exempt from the Freedom of Information Act?
Okay.
Watch it.
Here's the last part of the article. This is the piece de resistance, okay? CalPERS outside consultant, which advises the pension fund on how to invest, recommended the board oppose the fee disclosure proposal because it might overwhelm the board with too much information about how the pension system is paying in fees.
Wow.
You can't make that up. This guy is right on par. Is this the guy that's doing the blended glide path?
It's got to be the same guy.
This guy is right out of frickin' Dante's Inferno or something, or you know, Faust. Making a deal with the devil. There's a contract to sign. What?
It might actually be Satan himself writing script for CalPERS.
Unbelievable.
Wow. You know, and everybody
I'm flabbergasted.
You know, everybody that wants to attack the public employees and the public employee unions and things.
They're victims here.
That is what it is at this point. I mean, but these guys are going to be left stone cold. They have done their part. Whether you agree with how much they're paid or anything, they have done their part about committing to their government services, keeping the lights on for you, the roads paved underneath. They've done their part. And at the end of the day, they're going to be left without a pot
nothing.
To piss in.
You're nothing.
It's disgusting.
It is.
You knuckle dragon chicken little you.
They're going to end up with nothing no matter what they do. If they stay in the game,
but
they're going to end up with nothing. And if they leave, they're
but
only
that's the
beginning.
Answer.
Yeah.
The answer is to attack you, the messenger, because then you might have to actually face reality. And reality sometimes is hard to look in the eye.
One of them does this.
Ow! Slap the punk! Call security! Who's your daddy? Want a piece of me?
Frankie! Look, he's changing colors.
Come on, squirt some tears, punk.
Frankie, I think they're upset.
Because that's what's going to happen after this thing implodes.
It is.
Well, isn't it already doing that?
Well,
if you've got all these people leaving it and taking money at the same time.
But they're not telling anybody.
Not
it's
telling
not in the media.
Anybody.
Nobody's telling anybody. You can't get any information from the board of directors. You don't want to keep, you don't want to give them too much information. They might know what's going on, and then they won't be able to plead, ignorance.
Yeah. And really, these people are stuck in a miserable choice.
Yeah.
Is you can either take it in the shorts and at least walk out the door with your shorts, or you continue to use your butt cheeks for earmuffs and walk out the door with nothing.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Well, at this point, I mean, what more do you need to know?
I still can't get the butt cheeks for earmuffs out of my head. You know, that one you got to hit the side of your, it's like, what? But it's true. Not the butt cheek thing.
You know what the truth is. You know what the only solution is. Either you're willing to do what you have to do, or you're not. That's what it's down to.
And I would think that the time is running really fast here. You better make a decision because you're going to have nothing at all.
If you work for San Bernardino, you're already out flat. If you work for Stockton,
you're already out
flat.
Yeah. Okay, so we got the state of Jefferson. How is it going to change? You know, that's the big thing here, isn't it? This is what we're kind of coming full circle is, we don't want to get out of California because what's going to happen to our pensions? We don't want to get out of California because we might want to change the name. We don't want to get out of California. It's like there's a sinkhole it's like a big vortex going to suck everybody down the tubes. What are you talking about? You better get out of California or you're going to get sucked into the hurricane and you're going to end up in frickin' Oz with the Wicked Witch of the West,
mm-hmm.
which could be Hillary if she gets elected instead of indicted.
You never know anymore. You never know. I just, but yeah, that,
kind
that
of
really
the FBI
is.
Hits her with some water, and she, oh, what a world, what a world! I'm helping.
But that is the thing is, you know, people are like, oh, well, if we do this, then what happens to this? I'm sorry, state of California. We keep it California. We do your pension's gone. It's done. It's not California's going to do this to you. They've done it. It's done.
It's already a done deal.
Your cupcakes are burnt. Sorry.
See, that's the problem with government handling all your problems. It's pretty soon you don't even know you have problems.
Till it's too late.
Till it's too late. I mean, that's what they always say a professional does. It solves a problem you didn't know you had in a way you don't understand. Well, what these guys do is they create a problem you didn't know you had in a way you don't understand until the problem consumes you.
Yeah.
Even if you're a board of director.
Yeah. So it's there you have it. So is the state of Jefferson going to solve every problem? No.
No.
What it's going to do is give us a chance for a new start at solving these problems and not having starting a foundation of from freedom and liberty.
What the state of Jefferson will provide is the ability to get the government out of the way so that you can fix your problem and to get the government to stop creating the problems for you in the first
place.
Well,
it's kind of like this. I learned a long time ago from a very smart individual who had a lot of money. And I said, well, you know, we were talking about investing. And I said, well, how do I get investment advice? And he says, the best investment counselor you'll ever find is you.
Yeah. You never want to put your money in somebody else's hands.
No, you really don't, because what happens is they don't have your best interest in mind. They, you know, it's like buying real estate. Do you go to a stockbroker? You know, if you go to a stockbroker and ask him if it's a good idea to invest in real estate, he'll tell you no, invest in stocks. If you go to a real estate guy and tell him to invest in stocks, you know, he'll tell you invest in real estate. Why? Because that's where they make their money.
Yep.
Okay.
That's how they get rich.
That's how they get rich. So most people go to investment counselors, whether it's CalPERS or your guy down the street, and they get paid to sell you investments. They don't get paid to advise you on how to make money. And the only person that's going to have your best interest in mind is you, which means you have to work at it, which means you have to do some homework, which means that you have to learn things. You have to actually read. And if you haven't started that's right. If you haven't started a reading program, you know, you might want to get those little ABC books and start there. A is for apple, B is for ball, and C is for cat. And at some point in time, you might graduate into enough education in order to say, hey, this is a bad investment. Mm-hmm. Because how much did it take for us to pull this CalPERS stuff out to find out how insolvent, how screwed up, how corrupt it is?
It took browsing their website. It took listening to a webinar.
Right.
Their own webinar.
Their own webinar.
They explained it.
Yeah.
You know? You have to be able to have enough of a grasp of the English language to understand what they're really saying.
Well, it's not good. So anyway,
here's something really simple. When's the last time a government turned a profit?
Well, let's see. 18 trillion in the hole later, 19 now, because we've raised $1 trillion in the last month or so, and counting.
So governments never turned a profit. Why would you put them in charge of your retirement program?
Well, because they're smarter than we are. They're more, you know, they're nicer than we are. You know, they have a better education than we do. They have our best interest in mind because they are the best.
Well, what was it that
money
Wayne
can buy?
Yeah,
they
Wayne Allen
like
Root.
Me, they keep putting me on all these lists.
Wayne Allen Root said that they couldn't even turn a profit when they had the prostitution houses over in Nevada, you know. They went bankrupt on that one.
How do you do that?
You can't even make money off hookers?
No, they couldn't even do that.
It's like what? You know, so these guys can't manage their way out of a paper bag. But, you know, that's what it is. And so you've got to start taking control of your own finances is what it comes down to. You can't depend on the government to take care of you. That was the premise, the foundation of the liberty and freedom that the founding fathers originally gave us, is that you need to take care of yourself. The government can protect you from foreign invasions.
That's what they're supposed to do.
And it has this little thing, this document called the Constitution, that enumerated certain powers, you know, to the federal government. You gave these certain powers on loan to the federal government so that they would protect you. But that doesn't mean you abdicated all your responsibility to make sure that they didn't get out of control, or they didn't follow the plan, or they just you know, gave you work and took care of you the rest of your life. Or not, or just sit back in your easy chair, you know, and watch WALL-E one of these cartoons, Chicken Little or something. You know, I've been watching a lot of them lately with my grandchild. Frozen.
Not going to ask why.
Anyway,
you're watching them.
You know, that's not the idea. The idea is you're supposed to be an informed American making decisions, not a dumbed down Democratic left wing moron who's depending on them to take care of you.
You're supposed to be in control, not them.
Yeah. And you want to know what the solution is? You know what the solution is.
I just gave you the solution.
I know. That's the real question is not what is the solution. The real question is do you have the stones to stand up
for
the
solution? Yeah, what are you going to do about
it?
There
you have it.
What are you going to do
about
it?
Probably need to go to a break, huh? What do you think?
All right. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
night like a river beginning to flow. I felt the beat of my mind.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dupes until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
What are you doing New Year's Eve? Come to a New Year's Eve gala at Mosley's Winery. Enjoy uproariously funny theatrical entertainment, DJ music and dancing, delicious hors d'oeuvres, wine, beer, and a complimentary champagne toast. A midnight ball will be a night of fun not to be forgotten. Proceeds support Harris Studios and Promoting Arts Now. Tickets are available for purchase in downtown Reading at the Enjoy Store or online at harrisstudios.com. Don't miss out on the fun.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Reading Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Turn on that old love light.
turn a maybe to a yes. Same old schoolboy game got you into this mess. Hey, son, better get on back to town. Bet you said, oh, true.
I think I've listened to Voss Skaggs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I like that stuff. That's good.
All the way to the end of the year.
Yeah, there you have it. Still looking for this Venezuelan banking crisis thing in between segments here. I'll get it before the end of the day. just too many things going on. I mean, I guess I'm going to say the quote of the day here, and then I'm going to start a new thing during the year. Who said it? And see if it works out. It's a mistake to look too far ahead. Only one link in the chain of destiny can be handled at a time. Who said it? If you know, you can get on the chat room and say, or not.
I know, but I won't say because it's cheating.
Okay.
Because you're looking at the screen over there.
No, because I saw it earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, just for fun. But what else have we got here that I wanted to look at? And we have a couple of things that are kind of big that are getting under the radar. We're going to get to this Red Flex today, but there's also there's an interesting story that came out of CNBC. I can't even say it anymore. I guess it's MSNLSD. I'm stealing from the VIN. Anyway. Why millions have restricted access to the internet starting this week. And this is kind of an interesting thing.
I think I'm on that list, too.
Yeah, internet.
I think we're all on that.
If you're not on the list, you're probably not an American. If you're not on the list, you're probably from a foreign country who's trying to kill Americans.
probably. It's the only way not to be on the list.
That's what happened to the chat room.
There you go. They killed the chat room. It's a takeover.
It's like that Monty Python scene. A witch!
How do you know she's a witch?
She turned me into a newt.
Hey, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Throw her in a pond, see if she floats.
Yeah, classic stuff from Monty Python. Yeah. That'd be the Holy Grail.
So well, back to this internet thing. So what, they're limiting certain individuals, targeting certain groups? I mean, how are they determining?
It says, but starting January 1st, 2016, it might go away, the internet, for a small percentage of people across the globe and millions of users who could lose their access to websites because of it. It all has to do with the SHA-1 sunset, a phrase used by technology insiders to describe an expiration of support for a certain level of encryption. Over the next year, the algorithms older than the SHA-1 level of encryption will no longer meet the trusted level of security for many websites, leaving as many as 37 million people unable to access them, according to research from internet performance and security company Cloudflare. It's a routine update to a web feature called the Certificate Signatures Hashing Algorithm, but the change, decided by a consortium of vendors of internet browsers, softwares, and software, could disproportionately affect mobile devices in the developing world. As a result, some of the world's most vulnerable populations will be left with only a selection of websites they can view without the needed safety protocols. It's just, an interesting thing shot off the bat that people might be
aware. So the internet on your Obama phone won't work?
No, it probably will. It's the rest of us that won't work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It'll be like that cartoon where, you know, Is it
like Y2K and the computers can't tell what day it is?
I don't know. I mean, it's Skynet has become aware.
Yeah. I actually think that part may be true.
Well, it could be if you've been reading the headlines here. I don't know. So.
Well, that's some of the radical technological advances that we've made this last year. It just, wow.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that we've accomplished in cybernetics and actually bridging the gap between organic and mechanical and being able to transmit brain signals into machinery and make it do what we want. It's exciting and a little spooky at the same time.
Very spooky. Because unfortunately, there's always bad guys out there.
Uh-huh.
And we do incredibly Well, investigative reporting here at Sovereign Radio, home of the Free Fire Media.
You know, did you see the Falcon 9 successful launch and return? They actually managed to launch a Falcon 9 rocket, deploy a satellite, and have the rocket return and land.
Yep, I did see that.
Oh, I did see something about that. It's supposed to be like a 50% saving on fuel or cost or whatever.
Yeah, but that's a huge step. Yeah.
The ability to and rapidly reuse that rocket and the booster stage and be able to put things into space, and you know, and then you look at the advances in 3D printing, you know, finding the God particle. It's been a crazy year for technology.
The God particle. Yeah. What the heck is that?
They think they have actually found the smallest form of matter in the universe that is both positive and negative and light and dark matter at the same time.
So it's like the alpha omega particle?
Well, it actually vibrates at a frequency that holds everything else together.
So and God could be a particle? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they call it the God particle because it binds the entire universe together.
All particles.
And what's interesting, they actually hit it and split it, right, to see what had happened because it's the smallest known particle. And they had one over here, I think it was at Lawrence Livermore, and the other one at MIT. Here, I'll get to it real quick. But anyways, as they were hitting the one at Lawrence Livermore with a frequency, the one over at MIT started to vibrate at the exact same time and the exact same frequency, even though it was in two different places. So they think they're starting to crack the answer to time and space on that.
Scary.
I think it's cool, but, you know.
Well, like I say, there's always bad guys out there.
I'm gonna stay with the jury on this one and still deliberate.
Well, stay tuned for the third hour of Sovereign Mind. And if you have any questions, give us a call. 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
The dead and digging through wreckage after tornadoes killed at least 11 people yesterday and caused significant damage.
The city of Rowlett has established a curfew in the affected areas. Only emergency personnel and residents will be allowed in the area, and only if it is safe.
Rowlett City Manager Brian Funderburk, 29 people have been killed across the south and southeast over the past 5 days due to unusually severe weather. New Mexico residents continue to deal with the fallout of a record-breaking snowstorm that's crippled parts of that state, leaving a trail of traffic accidents and shutdowns. Weathermen say snowdrifts of more than 7 feet have been reported as blizzard conditions continue to slam the central and eastern portions of New Mexico. Many areas of the country, though, could record their warmest December ever.
National Weather Service forecaster David Rod.
We just had a really, really persistent pattern of a cold and unsettled weather over the west, but basically from the plains eastward, it's been more or less very, very warm. In some places will likely set all-time record warm Decembers.
Roth added,
the frontal boundary that's been wavering across portions of the northeast, that's finally going to sink southward. So we're going to get more seasonable temperatures by the time Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday roll around.
Patrick Foss reporting.
Authorities in Chicago are not offering more details about the fatal police shooting of a 55-year-old woman and a 19-year-old student yesterday. Police have said that Betty Jones was accidentally shot and killed as officers responded to a domestic disturbance. Pastors and community residents have scheduled a prayer vigil in her honor. Fire crews have managed to block a wind-whipped wildfire before it destroyed any homes along the Southern California coast. It's 60% contained. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
A senior Iraqi commander says ISIS troops are putting up a tough fight in the militant-held city of Ramadi, slowing down the advance of Iraqi forces. Iraq launched a long-awaited operation to recapture the Anbar province capital, but after an initial push across the Euphrates River, progress has stalled. General Ismail al-Malawi says today the advance is hampered by suicide bombers, snipers, and booby traps. He says that Iraqi troops will need days to get to the city's central government complex and try and take control. NFL star Peyton Manning is vehemently denying a report set to air on Al Jazeera that claims the Denver Broncos quarterback received human growth hormone through his wife during his recovery from neck fusion surgeries in 2011 in Indianapolis. In a statement last night, Manning says, "The allegation I would do something like that is complete garbage. It never happened." News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Zatarain's is voluntarily calling its 8-ounce boxes of red beans and rice original because the product may contain undeclared dairy ingredients that could prompt serious or life-threatening allergic reactions in some people.
The Gretna, Louisiana-based company says the product may contain creamy Parmesan rice mix with dairy ingredients. The dairy allergens aren't listed. The product in question has the words Best Buy, followed by July 31, 16Z. The company says it hasn't received any reports of the mislabeled product resulting in any illnesses or allergic reactions.
Jeremy House reporting. Today is Sunday, December the 27th, and it's a birthday for a number of notable people, including actor John Amos, who is 76 years old today. ABC News correspondent Cokie Roberts is 72. Country singer Shay Mooney of Dan and Shay turns 24 years old today. And journalist-turned-politician Arthur Kent is 62. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
Join us for Turtle Bay's most delicious event ever, Chocolate After Dark. On February 4th, you'll enjoy an evening of unique chocolate delicacies, distinctive wine and beverage tastings, and an exclusive preview of our newest exhibition, Peanuts Naturally. At just $35 per person with limited tickets available, this fabulous event is sure to sell out. So don't wait. Get your tickets today. This is a 21 and over event only. Buy your tickets at Turtle Bay or at turtlebay.org now. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire. Jefferson State of Mind has taken over the process of our music.
I guess we got good tunes too.
Yeah, I guess
Invasion.
You can play the theme from the Jeffersons there.
I actually like that song. The more I listen to it for the State of Jefferson, it matches.
It's funny.
It ties into my being part of the Middle Finger of America party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Middle Finger of Defiance party.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ted. Well, let's see what we want to talk about. Let's get into this Red Flex thing a little bit here. There's so much. We're just going to scratch the surface of it. Excuse me. But we want to get this out there because we're going to be attacking this more and more and more as time goes by, this Red Flex legislation and so forth, and how it got, you know, what Red Flex is it's the red light camera system that takes your picture and sends you a ticket. The different places where they are located at is, we have them at Cypress and Hilltop, Cypress and Vicelli, Market Street and Shasta Street, Market Street and Lake Boulevard, Pine Street and Tehama. Has anybody been getting tickets out there to the tune of $400 a pop lately? Is anybody getting as angry about this as I am?
I haven't got a ticket, but I'm angry about it.
How many people want to see the red light cameras in Reading go? And I believe Red Flex would be more appropriately explained as the foreign national corporation that has repeatedly been fined for labor violations, corruption, and unconstitutional activity.
Well, and then there is this, if you go to the Phoenix NewTimes.com and type in their Karen Finley in your browser, ex-CEO of Red Flex pleads guilty to bribery. This is posted June 19th of 2015. We've been kind of hanging on to this story for the right moment to bring it into focus. But, this Karen Finley was actually charged and convicted of Karen Finley, former CEO of the Phoenix-based my computer's screwing up here a little bit. Hold on. Of the Phoenix-based Red Flex traffic system, pleaded guilty today in federal court to an 8-year bribery and fraud scheme that helped the company retain photo enforcement contracts with two Ohio cities. Karen Finley, 55, of Cave Creek, pleaded guilty before a U.S. Magistrate Judge Terrence P. Kemp of Southern District of Ohio to a charge of conspiracy to commit federal programs, bribery, and honest services, wire and mail fraud, U.S. Department of Justice announced this morning. Now, what does that have to do with us? She was the one that signed our contract in Redding, California, just coincidentally. Now, it seems to me that if she was pleading guilty in Ohio to bribery and so forth with the city, two cities in Ohio.
You think there could be other cities?
Do you think there could be other cities that she might have bribed her way into this scheme for the company Red Flex, which is based in Australia, by the way?
You mean another city like Chicago, where she was indicted for over $26 million in bribes to an official actually appointed by Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah, that would be the same, Karen Finley.
Other cities like that?
Yeah, and Redding, California, just happens to have her name pasted on our contract. But I'm pretty sure that we haven't done any investigation of this by, the local authorities or anybody that could actually do something. You know.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please get first. Nothing to see here. Please.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that the contract was also signed by Rick Bassetti.
Yeah, it was strange. Actually, both times it was signed by Rick Bassetti in lieu of
Dick Dickerson.
For whatever reason, both times Bassetti signed the contract instead of the mayor.
Now, we're not making any allegations of bribery, but it just seems awful funny that the same person who's been indicted several times and pled guilty to charges of bribery and fraud happens to be the person who also signed the contract with our city of Reading with the same program. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there isn't. But this is a problem in my book when you're signing a contract with a convicted felon.
Yeah, and how long ago was that signed?
Well, it's been about 4 or 5 years. She wasn't a felon when it was signed, but
right.
She's been a felon since over the same exact program. But she got caught for bribery and committed acts of or felony felonious acts in a lot of other places besides us.
Well, and she's not the only one. There was other Red Flex officials. There was one salesman down in Arizona that got tagged along with the city council members, because come to find out, in that town, every time a ticket was issued, $89 went into a private fund that was divided up among the city councilmen. So we're
Could that be happening in our own county?
I don't know. We've run some money down, and there's some interesting discrepancies.
Yeah, there's some problems here.
About $4.5 million interesting little discrepancies.
Yeah, and so the fact that, well, then you hear the other side, well, if you don't want to get a ticket from red lights running, then don't run them. But wait a minute, what if it's all rigged? What if it's rigged? How do you fight it if it's rigged? Well, they've already ruled it unconstitutional in several courts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, so how can they be in place to begin with?
Well, that's a problem. Maybe it hasn't been challenged here yet. I don't know. But there's some interesting issues here with this, and there's some problems with it. Because these guys are handing out tickets like candy. Are they shortening up the times on the yellow lights? You're not supposed to be getting a ticket if through a rolling red light. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. That they're not supposed to be doing. It seems like they're doing.
Well,
they are not to move the cameras for profit, like they did from Churn Creek down to Hilltop, where the Cypress camera, there was a Cypress and Churn Creek camera, and they moved it down to Hilltop because the Churn Creek camera was not issuing enough tickets to be financially viable. That's illegal for them to move that camera to another area.
Hmm.
Now, we know other data, too, because our, they keep track of intersections and things like that, and they say, oh, well, have the intersections become safer since those cameras have gone in? Well, we know that accidents in those intersections, I believe, have dropped by 12%, right? That's pretty good.
No.
But the problem is, as you look at the accidents in the city as a whole, has dropped by 17%.
So it actually didn't have any effect.
It actually got worse.
It actually got worse because they can doctor the statistics to make it seem. And you know, it's like this. You know, oh, gee, just don't run the red lights. Well, wait a minute. If they're unconstitutional and you have no check and balance and it's being administered by a third party company,
yep.
Okay, and that's being checked by ex-police, what if they see you and they don't like you? How do you?
Well, like we were talking earlier, I was at Cypress and Hilltop the other day, and that thing was just flashing like crazy, and nobody was moving. And it was taking pictures of us at the stoplight.
Doesn't it kind of take out the a huge element of enforcement of the issuing officer being the witness to it?
Well,
absolutely.
Being able to face your accuser.
Your accuser.
Just aren't certain, we supposed to be innocent until proven guilty?
Just certain constitutional elements that could be a real problem for most people. Because if you're guilty, okay, hey, just pay the fine.
Yeah, we think you're guilty, so boom, just pay your fine, give us your money, and shut up.
This couldn't be a cash cow for anybody, could it?
Yes, it could, and it's in the millions of dollars. And the interesting thing that, as we said, there's some discrepancies in the cash, is you add up the number of incidents. Every time one of those cameras takes a photograph or a video, it's directed as an incident. There have been millions of incidents, okay? But there's also been a limited number of tickets issued. So the first thing that you have a problem with is the cameras are not supposed to be operating in a capacity while they are infringing upon the public's privacy when they're not in the commission of the crime. Obviously, that doesn't work because there is probably seven times the number of incidents than there are tickets issued. So basically, to say that it's not interfering with citizens' privacy at the time is a fallacy. Yeah. And then you add up the number of tickets that are issued, okay, and then you go into the City of Reading's contract, and they're actually supposed to receive three disbursements in two different they're supposed to receive three payments in two different disbursements. They're supposed to receive a disbursement off the initial fine, and then they're supposed to receive another disbursement that goes One goes into the traffic fund. One goes into the general fund. So they actually see two payments into the general fund and one that goes into the traffic fund that is specifically for paying the Redflex camera system. Okay, now our city has told us numerous times, and we've requested the records, they've shown us partial records, that says we lose money to Redflex every year. Okay, we're losing money, and Redflex is losing money, and everybody's losing money, which is why they're hot and bothered to add more cameras and do things like that, right? Because it's a losing proposition for them.
Right.
But the way that
it's all about safety.
Well, the way that the contract works is it's a negative impact contract that if we don't make enough money off tickets, basically we give everything that we make to Redflex, and then they go on about their business even though that we never made all of the money to pay for all the cameras. That's also deemed an illegal contract, by the way.
Okay, so all the money that's collected goes to Redflex first?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Having a hard time finding out where the money does go.
The money is collected by the county.
Okay.
Okay, by the county court system under the state. Once that money is collected, all the fines, the fees, the assessments, the actual fine for the ticket itself, that money is then dispersed by the county. It's dispersed to 29 different bank accounts for the state of California and the Superior Court.
Okay.
And then there's a disbursement made to the city of Reading. First, there's a disbursement made to the city of Reading that goes into the general fund. Then all the disbursements are made to the state of California. Then there's a second disbursement with two payments made to the city of Reading, one of which goes into the general fund, one of which goes into the traffic fund. The traffic fund pays for Redflex. According to the city and Redflex, the traffic fund has never made enough to pay Redflex off. But that's ignoring the two other disbursements to the general fund made to the city of Reading, and all of the other money that's collected
right.
That's flowing into the state of California's coffers and the Superior Court.
Well, wow. I'm looking at an article here from last year from the Chicago Tribune, and the Tribune's research concluded that Chicago's red light cameras haven't reduced injury-related crashes overall. Chicago has the highest, largest network of red light cameras, generating $500 million since 2002. But the city hasn't commissioned a similar study of its own to judge the system's effectiveness. Instead, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, where have we heard that name before?
Barack Obama.
Yeah, wasn't he some kind of czar or something? I don't know, maybe something. And, hold on a second. I'm having a computer issue here. A pop-up just got in the way of my, there we go. His administration has relied largely on a cursory before and after analysis of state numbers inflated by the program's effectiveness. You know, given the fact that there's, what, $2 million worth of bribes in there on this? Let's see.
I want to say there was $26 million total in the Chicago case.
Wow.
Yeah. Go to the Chicago Tribune, Rahm Emanuel.
Top Rahm Emanuel,
and look at that. And there's evidence is becoming overwhelming that this is a problem, and this is a ripoff, and this is a way to steal everybody's money at the local level. You can get in, so we're just starting to gather information on this. We're just bringing this out. You know, you can go to several websites. One is welcometohighwayrobbery.net. Info and advice on California red camera tickets. Content was last updated on December 1st of 2015. And so it seems that there's so much graft and problems with all this stuff, and it's unconstitutional. And, bribes took place in order to get a lot of these contracts.
There some studies that have actually taken the red lights out because...
Yeah,
it is unconstitutional for one, the biggest reason.
Yeah, again, we're looking at more and more of this stuff. It seems like in Los Angeles, I got a story here. I don't know if it's been updated tonight from 2011. Drivers can disregard red light cameras tickets in L.A. City officials debated the future of photo enforcement systems, recommending that the citation stopped being issued at the end of the month and that the program be phased out.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why wouldn't they phase it out if they're not making money anyway? If they're not making money.
Well, if it's not about money and it's about safety, but we've
right.
already, but the figures say that it doesn't help the safety, then what is it about if it's not about money?
It actually makes, it categorically makes the safety worse. In every study that's been done, and where the percentage of accident reduction or increase has been held as an aggregate to the rest of the municipality, every single time it reduces safety because people are slamming their brakes because they're afraid of the camera.
Or jamming on the gas.
Or they're jamming on the gas, or they're stopping in the middle of the intersection.
Not to mention the fact that
the flash confuses them and causes an accident.
Not to mention the fact that everywhere this contract gets signed so far,
there's fraud.
There's fraud and bribery.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, just
somebody's
saying.
Getting a good kickback somewhere.
Well, as we said, we've looked into this some, and there's about 4.5 million different discrepancies that we've found.
Nobody wants to give us any information on that. Isn't that interesting?
No. And that's some things that will be coming out here in the next little bit. We've actually begun working with the American Civil Liberties Union to pry that information loose because they're working on a similar case. Right now, it's Shasta County Superior Court that is giving us the issue about releasing the documentation on the fines and how they're dispersed. Originally, they told us those documents didn't exist. I sent them the documentation from the state of California where they're required by law to keep those records and in what manner they're to be kept. Then they said that they didn't have to turn them over to me because they were a court document and the court is exempt from the Freedom of Information Act and the Public Records Request Act. Then I sent them the actual manual where that information is supposed to be kept and in what manner and readily available to the public, including being up to date by the day on the amount of revenue and where it's going. At that point, they told me the documents didn't exist again. They were in the possession of the county. I contacted the county, and Larry Lees's office informed me they don't exist. Contact the court. At that point, I lost my temper and called the ACLU. They have taken a look at it and actually issued an attorney to the case, and we will be prying that information loose.
Yeah, so that's what happened in the last year that we've kind of kept under the wire. But the real deal is that, this power to adjudicate civil violations is supposed to be the sole in the sole purview of the municipal court. So what happens is you're being tried and convicted before you have a chance to even, face your accuser. What
right.
did you do? You know, it's some guy in a back room looks at your pictures, boom, goes boom, and sends you a bill.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the extenuating circumstances are. Doesn't matter if it's legal. Doesn't matter if it took bribes to get the camera system into place. Doesn't matter if there's a bunch of people making graft off of this or got bribed to get it in. I guess it doesn't matter if it's unconstitutional. As long as they just keep doing it, nobody cares.
Yeah, and this is not a statement of fact or anything like that of this manner yet, because I'm not certain, but I can't prove it. But from what I'm looking at right now is it appears to be Shasta County that's ripping off the city of Redding and the citizens. And until I can get those documents that the county should be providing to me as a citizen, I can't prove it. But from what I'm looking at, the city's budget compared to the county's budget and what's not being disclosed, it definitely appears that the county is the one that's taking the lion's share down from these things.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at another thing. We go to a break here. California Redflex wrote changes to the red light camera legislation, and this is on Senate Bill 1303, dropping pro-motorist provisions on behalf of the red light camera companies and local municipalities. There's a lot of digging to do on this, but,
they need to go away.
These modifications were not made on behalf of any constituent, but to protect Redflex from pending California Supreme Court case.
Well, that's another thing. We've done some research into who and how Redflex cameras have donated to, and it's an interesting list.
That's not bribery, is it? It's a donation? It's like the Clintons, you know.
Yeah,
you go someplace, they donate $500 million to your foundation, and, you know, just coincidentally, the law gets changed in your favor, or some trade agreement gets, enacted, or, you know, just things like that, or guns get ran from, you know, Benghazi to Syria to fund ISIS while there's a payoff. I mean, you know, those, what's that? That's just business, isn't it?
Well, see, one of the interesting things is in a Supreme Court decision, they actually declared Red Flex and what they do is unconstitutional, and their red light cameras are classified as abandoned assets of a foreign national corporation.
So they abandon the assets that are still collecting the money.
My question is if it's an abandoned asset, can I go put a salvage tag on it in 30 days? I'm going to go up there with my torch and cut the camera down?
Well,
take it home, chop it up for salvage?
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah, what if somebody went down there and put a big, huge refrigerator box over the top of it because it's not really owned by the city or the county or anybody?
No, it's abandoned.
It's an abandoned thing.
Abandoned asset property. Of a foreign company.
Why wouldn't somebody just put a big box over it with a out-of-order sign and basically...
Just cut the wires.
Out of order, go to hell.
Sorry.
Maybe that's a little strong.
Well,
maybe they could make it like a big minion. You know, we just pay the yellow.
Well, see, the other thing too is the problem is that the people that are reviewing your videos are employees of Red Flex. Okay, they try to say, "Oh no, they're not an employee of Red Flex."
Where are they getting paid from?
That this is the cutesy little thing that they
did. They're
retired police officers who are being paid by the city of Redding.
Who's getting the money from the house that Jack built?
Exactly. They're not getting the money directly from Red Flex, but what we owe Red Flex, we don't owe Red Flex that much that we have to pay the police officer. So, say we're giving each of these police officers $60,000 a year. We got two of them, that's $120,000 a year. Well, yes, the city of Redding's paying them, but now that's $120,000 a year less that we owe Red Flex. That's illegal.
Yeah, but that's... No, come on, stop it.
It's illegal.
And yet, have a problem with all this?
Yeah, you know, so this is not going to go away anytime soon.
Well, they've said any ticket that is issued by an employee of Red Flex is not valid. Okay, so then they started using police officers, and Red Flex was paying the salary of those police officers. And the point was made, well, they're still employees of Red Flex. They're being paid by Red Flex. So what they did then was, okay, you pay them, and you don't have to pay us. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, so... Who really is controlling the money? Is it the city of Redding or the Shasta County? Who's the one that decides where the money goes?
Shasta County Superior Court.
And who's in charge of it there? I mean, is there an individual? Like a certain judge, a certain person that says, hey, this percent goes there, that percent, I don't know. Maybe you can't
actually,
say right
there,
now.
There's actually a state panel that kind of oversees it. How it goes, but it's written out. There's a whole manual on how the court is to handle traffic citations, what amount, what percentage,
right,
where it goes, how it's to be documented, how it's to be treated, how it's supposed to be available to the public, where the money goes. You know, like when they told me, oh, well, we're not in possession of those documents.
Right.
The county and Larry Lease has those documents. Yeah, okay, whatever. That's a bald-faced lie. Because in no way, shape, or form should the county government have those. Because the county government's not directly involved in any way, shape, or form. The Superior Court of Shasta County, which really is a state entity, is involved. Okay. The city of Redding has the contract, and Red Flex is involved because they're the contract maker. If the county is involved on an executive level, like Larry Lease or something like that, then there's a real big problem.
Well, I'm also looking at the foundational requirements of pay-per-ticket cost-neutral contracts, what they've said they are. Which is what we have. Are prohibited under Vehicle Code Section 21455.5. Prohibits per-pay-ticket contracts. That's what we have. And, you know, so paying red light camera vendors, suppliers, based on the number of tickets issued undermines the public trust and raises concern that these systems can be manipulated for profit. No. Many cities are ignoring the law. An example would be Marysville, you know, where the contract signed in 2004 says, you know, basically a per, and so we have the same contract, okay, here, so we're ignoring the law in the city of Reading. And so, in other words, contrary to the misleading fixed fee language, Redflex will get less money if there are fewer tickets and more money if there are more. Does that,
weird.
Yeah, I know, isn't that just strange?
One listener just called in, didn't want to go on the radio, but said she actually was able to face her accuser in a manner of speaking by challenging the ticket
right.
when she went to court, and she was able to go to a subsequent hearing where the red light people were present, or representatives of the company, and she said by going to the second hearing she did manage to get her fine reduced. Apparently that's
standard procedure
if you go to the second hearing and challenge the original.
Well, what we need to challenge is the underlying law here,
right.
The constitutionality of it, you know. And I think we need to do some investigative reporting. How did this contract get implemented in the city, and who's benefiting from that contract? And was there any graft or coercion or fraud or, in this city? No, it couldn't happen here, really.
Well, those are some things that we've looked at and we've dug into, and don't have any firm answers on that. Have a couple of scent trails to run down, but nothing solid about anything of that nature.
I think we got to go.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But if you have any information about the red lights or the situation that we're talking about or been a victim, please give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvy here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, DiamondCoreDrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvy. We're here to help.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We're back in the third hour here. We got about 20 minutes left. And we have a caller on the line, Kay, and she has a comment.
Morning, Kay.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good.
Good. I heard Roger Slagle.
Roger Slagle?
He's a local filmmaker.
Okay.
He does documentaries. One of the things he did was The Secret of Wilson Hill. About Shingletown.
Right.
Anyway, he's done lots of research on it, and he's, you know, trying to get something going.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll need to get contact with him here.
Yeah, I don't have the contact information right at my fingertips, but I just thought he would be a good person for you to contact because he's really interested. He might even be listening for all we know.
Well, who knows, but we will, I just Googled it, and I'm trying to get, got Roger Slagle, CPA, CGMA, I'm not sure if that's him, or Red Flex Travel.
We've got his contact info.
Oh, do we?
Yeah,
do we?
They did interview him on KQMS, you know, from the 7 to 9 one time. and I mean, they'd have his information too. But I think he's pretty easy to contact.
Yeah, we'll run it down.
Yeah,
I think we might already have
the
information.
We've got
it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so thank you for calling in.
It's a very, very interesting topic. You guys have gone and done other information that, I mean, every time you hear something about it, it gets worse.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, unfortunately,
well,
it does.
We did a lot of prep work on this prior, and then we had some other things come up that we needed to secure first that were priority, and now we're back to kind of take another swing at this.
Well, you don't want to blow your case.
No.
Well, that's true.
Okay, keep up the good research.
All right,
thank
thanks,
you.
Bye. With that, I want to read something from the Mogambo Guru. Okay, this is his last newsletter, and it concerns the Federal Reserve. And it's a little lengthy, and I'm going to try to edit it here a little bit, but it's definitely worth the read. The Federal Reserve, as have all the world's central banks, has proven that it will happily create astonishingly as much cash and credit as necessary to completely save the bond market, the stock market, save the housing market, save the bank, save the government, and save everything from everything. How wonderful. I therefore have decided, after thinking about it all day, that there must be temporarily safe to venture out of the top secret Mogambo bunker, that would be the TSMB, into the scary world where every economic metric is at an extreme overvaluation and doom and destruction loom over every minute, every moment. I mean, what could go wrong? Suddenly, almost on a whim, I found myself out of the bunker and into the sunshine, as light as a feather. Or rather, I would be if I was not hugging a heavy sack of armaments just in case of an attack by zombies, space aliens, terrorists, or the government goon squads, or family members, or the crazy guy down the street. You can never tell. It's a weird world these days. Anyway, if the government and the Fed are going to save everything by creating unlimited cash and credit to buy everything a dozen times over, then I figure I have nothing to worry about in the short run. And you can quote me on this, as I have no doubt that they can do it. It's easy. It's easy as pie. You can just create as much money as you want anytime you want for anything you want. How can you not make the prices of things stop collapsing or even go higher if you create truly infinite amounts of cash and credit with which to buy more and more of them? A seller's market in everything. Ha ha, even a toddler can do that. To test this breathtaking, controversial new theory, we at the famous nonprofit Mogambo Institute of Hotshot Research conducted a groundbreaking experiment. We put two colored cards in front of an actual toddler. Although there were some discussions as to whether she actually toddled or merely reflexively extended one leg out as she clumsily fell over in the process of trying to stand up, the whole time her interfering mother was whining. I told you she was too young to walk, jerks. And I'm explaining to her that this has to be a toddler because we have already postulated the theory about it being so easy that a toddler could do it. Postulated, I tells you. I am, of course, mentally adding to my explanation of serious science behind this. Well, the exciting seminal experiment went like this. One card was green, C, representing the decision to create more cash and credit, and the other card was red, representing the stopping of creating more cash and credit. We scientifically presented two cards to the kid and told her, touch the green card if you want to create more cash and credit, and touch the red card if you do not want to create more cash and credit. If she touches the green card, thus proving our hypothesis that even a toddler can create cash and credit, we said good girl and gave her a happy Gucci goof on her fat little tummy. However, if she looked like she was going to touch the red card and stop monetary expansion, I would caution her with, uh-oh, think about it. If that damn kid again attempted to touch the red card and thus stop monetary expansion, we would escalate the warning to yelling, stop! What are you, some kind of moron? Are you too stupid to see the economy needs more cash and credit? Think of the poor widows and orphans who would suffer from the economic collapse, you dumb little squirt, and you destroy your parents' retirement funds. Do you hate your parents or something? To that little realism to the experiments, I added, as if to Janet Yellen, and say goodbye to all bribe money in the form of outrageous speaking fees we ain't going to give you. And think of the interesting things that the IRS, NSA, FBI, CIA, SEC, NASD, and the Pentagon will find while they are digging around your files, your email, your life, and your parents' lives, and which will all be ruined when they get through with you. Well, after exhaustive testing, the scientific conclusion that the Mogambo Institute of Hotshot Research was able to draw from this important study is that, yes, even a drooling toddler can increase the money supply to save the economy. We also found that toddlers, like money managers and bankers, will not buy gold when presented with self-same scientific presentation of green cards and red cards that accompanying the threatening commentary. Especially when it proved and admitted that the government and the Fed conspired to suppress the gold prices. Now, not investing in precious metals, thanks to suppression of their prices by the government, may be entirely appropriate for a money manager focused solely on short-term and his own selfish interests, but for long-term investing, wow, it's a once-in-a-lifetime bargain. The only thing that will stop this whole money, make more money madness is when price inflation and consumer staples rise so high that more money cannot be created and given away fast enough to keep up with the worsening decline in the purchasing power of the dollar until it reaches a last zero. At that point, everything will cost infinite dollars due to zero purchasing power of the dollar, since nobody will want the damn things and thus have no value, Zimbabwe springs to mind. Oh, people mock me for such shameless rhetoric. Nobody seems to the least hesitant to say, what a moron, or the popular butt-faced dork. Still, others conspiratorial say the magnificent Mugambo knows too much. Let's take him out, or better yet, make it look like his wife poisoned his food, which he always suspected has been proven wrong so many times that he won't suspect anything. Seemingly, the only thing left to do is throw up one's hands and chant, Dr. Bombay, Dr. Bombay, emergency, come right away. And it worked for Samantha Stevens. If for some reason Dr. Bombay does not show up, mix a magic potion and chant an incantation or two to set everything right, then I will suggest you buy gold and silver because they have magical qualities. They must have, because look at how gold and silver have held their values over these millennia. Oops, I can tell you are tired of reading and are asking, is this doofus ever going to shut up and how long until lunch? The answer is both soon. In summation, then, we have two investments that are waxing poetic guarantees to success by the linear line of time. But those prices are being held artificially low so as not to scare the womenfolk and the livestock with rapidly rising prices as the economy agonizes into its death throes, strangling to death by unproductive debt. That's where more central bank creation of cash and credit comes in, which is where monetary inflation comes in, which is where inflation and prices comes in, which is where rising prices in gold and silver comes in. When you think about it, it's easy. This investment stuff, no problem. Anyway, I had to read that because there's a lot of wisdom in there, and it's kind of funny and kind of scary at the same time.
It applies to a lot that's going on right now, that's for sure.
Boy, I'll tell you what. So, you know, with that, we've got, you know, more economic news out there on the front. You know, here's one. At this point, most Americans have less than $1,000 in savings, and over 20% don't even have a savings account. So the middle class is doing well out there, right?
Yeah, we're in recovery.
We're recovering nicely.
Yeah,
middle class?
Yeah, the middle class is just about wiped out through this economic malfeasance of creation of cash and credit and buying everything and trying to bail out all the friends and the cronyism and the capital. Anyway.
We do have a caller on the line.
We have Billy Bob.
Billy Bob Palisadro. How are you this morning, Billy?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I just wanted to put you on notice that on Monday's program with Carl Bott, Leonard Modi was a guest. And toward the end of the show, that would have been the 21st, I called in to ask him why he didn't hear the presentation from the state of Jefferson. And then he was going to answer that, plus another question I had, why he didn't meet personally with the owners and the investors with the 3M mining company on that
quarry.
Moody Flats project.
That's a good question.
So anyway, he said they didn't meet directly, and then that executive guy, what's his name for the county, Larry Lees, or what's his name, right, he chipped in and said, oh, I met with him, but anyway, that little chipmunk mouth guy, he wouldn't listen to him. He couldn't he couldn't make a deal to save his life. But anyway, my point to Modi, and he answered the question, as I put it, I says, well, you didn't hear the presentation, and so we got signatures, and we've gone around you, and now you don't have anything to say about it, and you're not going to have a seat at the table. And so then I hung up, and the response to that was, well, we'll see about that, and Leonard Modi in his little snarky voice. So anyway, go back and check that in the archives. It was pretty funny because, oh, we'll see about that. So anyway, I'll let you guys go.
All right, thanks for calling in. Yeah, Billy. I did hear that Leonard Modi had said something to that effect, like, what are you guys going to do about it, you know? There's nothing you can do, even with all your signatures and stuff. You can try to go around me, basically, is what he was saying.
We've already gone around him.
Well, yeah. You know, wait till the Police Officers Association loses all their retirement packages, and let's see how snarky Mr. Modi is then.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they all wake up and realize that they've been pilfered by the powers that be, mm-hmm. and they don't have any more retirement, and they're working for, you know, basically, you know, peanuts compared to what they thought they were getting, or at least half of what they thought they were getting. I wonder if Mr. Modi is going to be so snarky at that point, and I wonder if his re-election is going to be an issue at that point, too. Or is it when the economy implodes? Is it going to be when the stock market finally collapses? Is it going to be when the dollar finally collapses? Is it going to be when the housing market finally collapses? You know, when is it going to be that the supervisors wake up and realize that there's going to be pitchforks and torches outside their doors because they have been on the wrong side of things through this whole event, if you will, that's been taking place here in the North State?
Well, there are certain levels of these people, it seems like. There are good ones that we have run into that are absolutely there to serve the people. And God bless them. I mean, these guys, the stuff that they have to deal with trying to do the right thing day in and day out, you know, they've got to have the courage of a champion. They've got to have the patience of Moses. I mean, the corruption and the stench that these guys have to deal with on a regular basis it's astronomical. And really, God bless them for being there and doing it. And then we have these people that are just indoctrinated. They really don't know better. They don't know how it's supposed to work. They don't know their constitution. They don't know the jurisdictional process. They don't know what rights and powers they have. They're not even really sure what their job is. And then you have these corrupt individuals that are making money and are benefiting off of the way that it is and by bleeding the people dry. People like Leonard Modi, okay, that are fully aware of the system and the way that it's working and is perfectly willing to manipulate the system to cause harm to others, to self-enrich himself and his own friends. Someone that will, a former police chief, that will sit across the desk from you and say, I'm sorry, but the Constitution of the United States of America is too generic a document to uphold. The document that you took an oath to on several different occasions.
Yeah. There's just pure evil
out
there.
So there are people that are just, they're not in the know, and then there's people like Leonard Modi that's just a scumbag.
Yeah.
Well, tell us how you really feel.
Well, I thought I just did.
I'm running down this economic crisis thing for, it's actually Argentina, not Venezuela.
Oh, that's why I couldn't find it,
yeah. But go ahead, you guys, and continue your quest for what you were doing there while I'm running this thing down on getting this link.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. That's where the people come in. It's time that they step up and to the plate and get different people in there at our local level. Well, you know, we've got Modi and we've got, Glenn Hawes and a few others up there that just need to go away.
No, Glenn Hawes isn't there anymore. You got Modi.
Modi.
Yeah,
Les
he left
Baugh,
to escape prosecution.
You got Les Baugh, and you have Gio, how do you say her name?
Giacomini.
Giacomini would be a good example of the second. You know, I don't believe Pam Giacomini is a bad person. I actually believe Pam Giacomini's heart is in the right place in a lot of things. She just doesn't know better. She doesn't understand that it's her job to protect her constituents, the people that she represents from Shasta County, from the state of California, not enable what the state of California is doing to her people. Mm-hmm. She doesn't understand that process. But when you're new and you have people that are indoctrinated into the federal system, like, or into the government system, like Leonard Modi and Les Baugh. I mean, when those are the people that are shepherding you and teaching you, you can't really act surprised when you
get what you get.
You get what you get.
Yeah, again, that's when people need to step up. And whether she knows or doesn't know, if she can't do her job,
no matter who it is,
if they're not going to do their job, we need people in there that can.
We need somebody that will run against Leonard Modi.
Yeah.
You know, if I lived in his district, I'd run against him.
Anything's got to be better than that.
You know, and, you know, that's not because I necessarily think I'm the most qualified person that there is, but there's somebody that needs to run against him, and if it comes down to the end of the day, would you rather have a person that is absolutely against you, willing to rip you off, kick you, and leave you in a gutter, and then tell you the Constitution doesn't matter, or me?
Well, there you go.
Well, I think that you can get this PBS special, the Argentina Financial Collapse. Get the full movie on YouTube. There is a place on the PBS that segments it out. I can't seem to find it, but I highly recommend that you you watch it and see how the meltdown occurred in Argentina. And if somebody can come up with that other website, I'd be really appreciative of it. You know, this is how this stuff occurs, and the fact that, you know, we're completely ignoring this stuff. And then, you know, you got these arrogant little tyrants in place that seem to think that...
Well, somebody's got to run against them.
Well,
that's what it comes down to.
And I don't think that's going to really happen in a big way until the economy just gets so bad that people have to do something about it. And in order for that to happen, I think the government retirement system have to collapse to quit supporting these guys and to realize. It's just like, you know, at what point in time do the Democrats realize that everything's imploding, that they're on the wrong side of things, and they're not going to get what they thought they were going to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we're almost at the end of the show here. We've got a couple more minutes left.
1 minute till showtime's over.
1 minute left.
Yeah. Well. Don't forget, there is no meeting tomorrow night for the Tea Party. We will see you next year at the Tea Party at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. the following Monday.
And who was the quote?
Oh,
quote of the day was Winston Churchill, okay?
I forgot all about it, to be honest. I was on to something else.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to keep up with all this stuff, and you're trying to get all this stuff out on the air. But they're going to give us the music here in just a second. Bob is, and then it'll be the end of the year.
And may the Schwartz be with you.
There you go.
But we will be back next Sunday, same time.
Go watch The Big Short, and remember... You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles and truth above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Cleanup in Dallas and surrounding towns today from the tornadoes and heavy storms that killed at least 11 people yesterday.
We're continuing our efforts right now to check and clear all the damaged structures to determine what is going on, as also to assess the total damage that has occurred from this tornado that has actually struck the city of Garland.
Police Lieutenant Pedro Barneau, unusual weather has killed nearly 30 people in 5 southern states since last Wednesday. Police in Vienna say they're ramping up security over worries about a possible terrorist attack between Christmas and the New Year. Bob Agnew reports.
Vienna police say they, along with several other countries, got a tip from what they called an unidentified friendly intelligence service in the days just before Christmas. They say authorities also were given several names of potential attackers, but an examination brought no concrete further results. Police say they are also stepping up surveillance of places where crowds are expected.